Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is a podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma. And both of us have been trying for a baby for a really long time. Despite that, neither of us is currently pregnant.
Welcome to episode 13.
Woo! Unlucky 13. And it's nearly Halloween.
Ooh. Fun fact for you, Emma.
Go on.
I was born on Friday the 13th.
Were you?
Yeah.
Aww.
And I've got a black cat.
You have?
I'm pretty much a witch.
Oh, mate. I've just been watching Sabrina.
Oh, wow.
And I can confirm that you're right.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, all witches. So happy Halloween as well, guys.
Oh, happy Halloween to you,
it's
pal.
Witching hour.
We've had a nice week, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had a good week.
In chill. We've been doing a lot of podcasting.
We have. We've been busy bees.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
There's a lot of cool things coming up, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got something to take care of at the top of the show. Some business to attend.
We got some criticism.
We did. I know. Well, it's pretty much our first proper bit of criticism.
Yeah, everyone's just been really nice up until now.
So we thought it's best to actually talk about it. We think it's kind of fair.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
So so what did they say, Emma?
Well, she said, first of all, she starts by saying, great podcast.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a shit sandwich.
Second of all, she did not like how much we criticise the NHS.
Yeah.
And third of all, she pointed out that we've mentioned some supplements on the show for which there are no or not very much scientific evidence for their efficacy.
Yes.
So should we start with the NHS?
Let's.
Yeah, we do. No. No, we don't slag off the NHS. I think certainly I have had a lot of frustrating experiences with my clinic, which is both NHS and private. But I am also really, really lividly angry at the state of NHS funding at the moment.
Mm.
So my doctors and nurses are not bad people.
No.
They're not, well, except for that guy who told me that that I was barren while I was still basically asleep. But other than that guy, they're not bad people. They're just so busy.
Yeah, I think I would say that we kind of come from a position where we are eternally grateful for the funding that we do have.
Yeah.
And we both do love the NHS and what it stands for, and we think it's wonderful.
It saved my life twice.
Exactly. It hasn't saved mine. It brought me into the world, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And you.
Yeah.
And all of us, probably.
Yeah. We love the NHS.
Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, we try on this podcast to be as honest as possible, and part of that is kind of voicing our frustrations, which mm-hmm. every once in a while are going to be, you know, towards the treatment that we're having. So it may feel like we're bashing the NHS, but I don't think we mean to.
I'm bashing NHS funding.
Yes, that's different.
I think it's disgusting that the NHS has been allowed to keep operating as people get older and therefore sicker on budgets that are actually lower in real terms than they have previously been. Mm. We're speaking on the day that Philip Hammond announced, in quotes, additional funding for the NHS, which is badly needed, but that, I mean, it's not going to be enough.
But also the day that we found out from the BBC that there's loads of clinics that are not letting women that are 34 and over have funding.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
CCGs decided that that's not too old.
Yeah, and they're being forced to make those decisions. They're being forced to make these harsh cuts because either somebody gets a baby or somebody doesn't get, dialysis. My local hospital where I grew up, they've just shut their dialysis unit.
Oh, God.
So we're not bashing the NHS. We're bashing NHS funding. We're bashing the state of the NHS. And I think without questioning what's going on, it's just going to be allowed to fester. So we love it. It saved my life twice. It brought us both into the world. But that doesn't mean that we can't push for an improved service.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And the other thing is supplements.
Yeah. Again, I know you have to be careful talking about these things because there isn't a lot of research backing them up. But again, I suppose we are trying to be honest.
Yeah.
About our experiences. And I suppose maybe we just need to be a bit clearer when we talk about them that, you know, a doctor hasn't told us to take them, maybe, or that there isn't much research around it.
I also think somebody once told me that if you tell somebody who's trying to get pregnant that you'll get pregnant by standing in the middle of the road naked and shouting your name, that person will probably go and do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And we are people who are trying to get pregnant. Like, we just want to give ourselves the best chance. So, we'll certainly address when we're talking about supplements that and all those treatments and
the kind of bets that you place to try and increase your chances.
Yeah, absolutely. But, it's funny. We ask Professor Tim a lot of those things, and that's why we get Professor Tim on most of the time.
Yeah.
Why we decided to get him on, because we wanted to, kind of get rid of those myths.
Mm.
So we'll probably put those supplements to him.
Yeah, certainly. And I think also there are lots of things that science and Professor Tim would dismiss because there isn't any research around it. And that's a good reason to, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't drink pomegranate juice or whatever it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. just because, there's no research around it. If you think it's going to work for you, then as long as it's not any chance of it harming you, then I don't see why not.
Don't go and do like heroin because somebody told you to do heroin and it'll help you get pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, if it did, wouldn't that be great?
We'd all have a great
time. So blissed out.
but within reason, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my friend's going to have a gong bath soon.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'll join her.
I'd love that.
And that is the admin taken care of.
Yes. Thank you, guys. And mea culpa, sorry about that. The other thing is the
party.
Big fat negatives, big fat Christmas party.
Guys, we finally got our asses into gear and organised something. And when I say we, I mean Gabriella.
Oh, no, it was a joint effort. You started it, I finished it. I brought it home.
So, the date is?
It's the 7th of December.
The location?
Old Queen's Head in Islington.
The time?
7 p.m.
The way to get tickets?
Eventbrite link in our show notes or on our Instagram page.
At the moment, tickets are sold out. Today, we're going to add 20 more.
Yes.
So if you want a ticket and you feel like you missed out, then go and get them. We are also going to add a waiting list.
Yep.
So if you want tickets, again, one might become available. If you realise you can't come, please give up your ticket so someone else can get it, because this has been like way popular.
It has. It really took me by surprise. I think we've been oversubscribed and the pub just isn't big enough. Which is, it's not because we only want to see that many of you, it's because literally the pub's like, you can't have more people than that. I'm sorry, no. So I mean, I guess it's a good thing. Sorry to anyone who doesn't get one.
There is also something that we should warn you all, which is that at 8 p.m. the pub starts charging for entry. We've begged with them, we've pleaded with them.
Yeah.
We've offered them our firstborn. No, we haven't done that. No, we wouldn't do that.
Never.
We've offered them our firstborn with the knowledge that it'll never exist. But unfortunately, they are gonna start charging. How much do they charge?
Oh, I didn't find that out actually. Okay. I mean it's not gonna be much, is it, to get into a pub?
No. But if you want to get in for free,
Come. It's a charge
before 8 p.m.
Yeah, and it'd be good anyway, because we don't want to be two of us standing around like a pair of plums waiting for everyone to arrive. Honestly, they said they were coming any minute now.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing to address is it's Fertility Week.
Uh-huh.
That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, it's a big deal. There's lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled and your ears out.
Yes, absolutely.
And your...
There's loads. Yeah. I think there's quite a lot going on in the news. So there's lots of shout outs for couples to go on and tell their story and stuff like that. So keep up watching out for that.
Fertility Network UK is a really good Insta and Twitter account to follow.
Yeah.
If you want to go on TV.
Exactly. Which we all do.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, why else are we doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. All I want is to go on TV. Anyway, we've got a really good show coming up.
Yes.
We've got Keely Dwight.
Hey!
AKA at Trying to Be a Mum.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Keely.
Yeah, we had a reet laugh.
A reet laugh.
So enjoy that. We've got Professor Tim talking about pomegranate juice.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as always, please rate and review the podcast because it helps other people to find it.
Yes, please.
And follow us on the socials: Instagram
at Big Fat Negative,
Twitter
at Big Fat Negative,
Facebook
Big Fat Negative,
and get in touch with us via email because we love getting your emails.
Yes, and that is bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com.
See you later.
See you soon, guys.
Bye.
Emma, how have you been?
I've been all right, thanks. Bit of a weird week this week. It's been a bit limbo-ish.
Oh, really?
Well, this happens every single time one of my cycles gets cancelled, which is often now.
Oh, yeah.
Monthly.
Familiar.
Yeah, so I would say when you're trying for a baby, like, naturally, it's the hope zone.
Mm.
Mine's the bored zone.
Oh, right, okay.
Mine's the waiting for the next thing to start zone.
Right.
So I'm on day, like, 30-something of my cycle. Like, I basically spent the whole week monitoring my cervical mucus, and I feel we can talk freely about this now because we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like obsessing about it, and then every time I think there's something egg whitey, I'll take a test, an ovulation test, and then it'll be negative.
Right.
And like part of me's like, maybe the test is broken.
Or did you just miss it?
Yeah, but that's never happened. It's literally never happened before.
No, as in you missed.
Oh,
you
maybe.
You didn't test when you ovulated and you missed it.
Maybe, but I don't think I did because I just, like, well, firstly, the consultant was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to ovulate this cycle. So maybe I just didn't ovulate. I don't know, but I've been obsessing because I just want my period to come.
Yeah. Well, it does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That you don't.
Allegedly.
Not periods, but you don't ovulate every month.
I hate wanting my period to come. Half the time I want my period to come, half the time I don't want my period to come.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
It's confusing. I just want to be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
content?
Yeah.
With child?
With child. I just want to be pregnant. Just want a fucking baby.
It's a word. It begins with P. I can't quite put my finger on it, but that's what I want.
Yes. So that's been my week.
Oh.
And that's basically been it.
A bit frustrating then.
A little bit frustrating. Like, I've been trying to focus on work.
Yeah.
But I haven't been very well.
Oh.
Sorry to our American listeners for that. That was terrible. Terrible tribute. Yeah, so that's been it.
Good.
How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, not bad. What have I been doing? Well, this week I've been kind of obsessing about detoxifying my beauty regime.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that was an unexpected answer.
Right? I'm just going from one research rabbit hole to the next.
Okay.
And this week it's makeup and moisturiser.
Okay.
Basically, I've been spending a lot of time in my local Holden & Barrett, which is a surprise. I mean, I was in there for all of my supplements recently.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
But it's a slippery slope.
Okay.
So now I went in to get some natural deodorant with everything that's free in it. It's really good.
Does it work?
Yeah, it's not bad actually, the one I got.
Oh.
It's lavender flavour. I quite like lavender.
Yeah.
I think it's by Dr. Organics.
Okay.
And it kind of works. I don't smell.
I can't smell you. I can't smell you.
I can't smell
lavender either.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't smell your natural fragrance.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long day. So yeah, and then I decided that I would have a look for foundations and moisturizers.
Wow.
Because, you know, put it on your face. You want to get some good stuff.
Yeah. Your face does look lovely today. Particularly lovely.
Thanks, mate. I haven't found any yet. Oh. So, no. It's quite a hard one, isn't it? Because I've got quite bad skin, I would say, normally. No. And so things like foundations and moisturizers are quite hard for me because mm-hmm. I'll often have a reaction to something or it just won't suit me. So simply buying something off the internet that I've read is good isn't really an option for me. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, all of these kind of natural cosmetics don't tend to be in regular shops.
Yeah.
So I think I'm basically going to have to go on like a mission
across
London trying to find stuff.
Okay.
But that's, you know, that's what I'm doing now. That's my new plan.
That's fun. I've spent a lot of money on paraben sulfate-free hair care products.
Yes.
I'm kind of obsessed with them, and every time I find a new one, I buy it.
Okay.
Which means that we have about 80 different shampoos and conditioners in our house.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the one that I like.
Well, the one in Holland & Barrett is Faith in Nature, which I was going to try.
Some of them are really... And the thing is, again, this is probably something we should ask Professor Tim about, because... Like all the kind of, my nutritionist told me to use paraben sulfate-free hair care stuff. But is it that bad? Is it really that bad?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm kind of, because I'm obviously getting ready for IVF in January, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of picking off the things that I think I can do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I probably can give up caffeine. I can cut down booze.
Yeah.
I can change my foundation and moisturiser. I've just run out anyway, so,
you
know,
okay.
It's a convenient time for me to do that.
Yeah.
And what's the harm in going to Holland & Barrett instead of Boots to get my cosmetics, deodorants, hair stuff? I just think it's probably something I can do that's easy, so I will.
Gives you some control.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
I've also been buying all of the Method cleaning products.
Oh, welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
I'm so excited. Why has it taken me so long?
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Oh my God. I really want, the shower one next. Ooh, there's like a shower spray.
Mm. I've got the toilet cleaner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. Although I did spend my weekend cleaning my new house and using all the like really, really toxic cleaning products, and I was so satisfied. Oh. The limescale just disappeared.
Yeah, it probably does work a bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've got a new cleaner starting. When I say a new cleaner, I'm getting a cleaner for the first time.
Congratulations.
On Friday. Thanks. And I think, I suspect the cleaner will be horrified by my natural products.
Yeah.
I think I would have been horrified a few years ago.
Well, I think if your job is to clean and you get given basically substandard products.
Yeah, exactly.
That smell delicious and don't have any chemicals in them.
Yeah.
But, like, don't take limescale off.
But really, I'd be doing them a favour too.
Yeah, like they're not going to die young. So.
Exactly. Detoxifying their workload.
I'm sure she'll be very appreciative. She or he?
She. I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been interesting.
Cool.
What else has been going on? I won't say who it was, but I had a couple of relaxed conversations with someone.
Yay!
Yeah, that was fun. This one was the classic story of someone who had IVF and then later got pregnant naturally because they were relaxed and they weren't thinking about it.
I don't think it was that.
I don't think it was that.
I don't think it was that.
Well, I was like, for a start, I was kind of like, kind of gritted teeth, kind of like nodding along. And then I was like, well, it might have also been because the couple had made some lifestyle changes, had been taking lots of supplements that would have boosted their natural fertility and therefore made them more fertile through that rather than they just weren't thinking about it anymore. And I just, it's annoying.
It's really annoying.
Really annoying. My husband... It's quite funny. He was sitting next to me. He was just watching me, watching my reaction, watching my face contort.
Oh my God.
Getting lots of giggles out of it. But yeah, that was that.
Cool.
What else has been going on?
Well, we got some tips.
We did get some tips.
So last week we asked, 2 weeks ago, we asked everybody for tips on IVF, like IVF hacks.
Yes.
Because somebody had sent us a message saying that you should put your pessaries in your bum.
Yeah.
Which kicked off a whole debate that I don't even want to go into right now. Mm-hmm. But we asked everybody if they had any more IVF hacks.
Yeah.
So what did you get?
Well, so obviously we are doing IVF in January, and Katie Lindemann, aka Uber Barons Club,
a font of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant stuff. Got in touch to give us some advice about doing frozen sperm ahead of my egg collection.
Oh.
Yeah, because she was saying that, well, obviously, when you have your eggs collected, your husband has to go in and...
It's a high-pressure situation.
Produce. It yeah. is a high-pressure situation. And I'm actually going to read out what Katie said to me because it's absolutely hilarious. It's one of the funniest sentences I've ever read. She said, I think if you locked me in a scummy masturbatorium with a crusty jazz mag, knowing its sole purpose was for blokes to wank off and knowing that my partner was next door in theatre under anaesthetic and the entire cycle depended on me being able to knock one out, I think I might struggle.
Fair point.
I was like, well, when you put it like that, mate.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you... So freeze some sperm ahead of this, it's going to cost you some money because yeah. it's not part of the NHS funding. However, there's that point of the pressure. There's also the point that they might be sick, they might have a cold, they might have the flu, all things which actually affect the quality of the sperm. So it makes actual sense to have some backup.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess it depends whether your partner is good at wanking under pressure.
Yeah, well, my
some men get off on it.
Yes.
The pressure well, wank.
Yeah, exactly. When you call your mum when you're in your bedroom.
I like the fact that you're saying when you.
Done it loads of times. is that probably an urban myth that boys do that? I reckon it is.
So. I've never heard that before.
Who knows? Well, Mr. Gabby, when I suggested it to him, was a bit like, I think I could manage it. But to be fair, he then was like, actually, yeah, it's a really good idea. Let's
I
do
like that.
That
he's seeing it slightly as a test of his masculinity.
Yeah. I'd be fine, mate. I'd be fine. So yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice. Yeah. And actually, it's something that was mentioned in the book, Get a Life. Yes. IVF, His and Hers Guide to IVF, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic book that actually you, Emma, recommended to me.
Yeah.
And she, they also tell a story about that in that book, and that's what their recommendation is. So okay. that's two shout-outs for that.
Cool. So we, there was another tip for you that I thought was really, really good, which is from Becca, which is about injecting yourself.
Oh.
Because it's really scary. Like when you first did it, in fact, every time I did it, I kind of freaked myself out about it. I like had to psych myself up a bit because you are essentially sticking a really pointy object into yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a natural thing to do.
I'm not excited about it.
No.
I'm a bit daunted.
And the other thing with injections is that you tend to, like for some reason, if you get a capillary, you bruise so badly. So some injections you'll do and you'll be fine. And then some you'll do and you'll just get this giant bruise.
Right.
Like, dark purple bruise.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm. It's very attractive.
Mm.
So Becca sent this message to us and she said, lightly touch the needle to your skin before you break it and wait until you find a bit where you can't feel it and do the injection there, because apparently this helps avoid the pain sensor nerves, which she said might not be the actual technical name. She said she used to get a really painful injection which must have been hitting a nerve, but when she did the skin test thing, she didn't it didn't happen anymore.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and she also said, don't rub the injection site because that encourages blood flow there and you'll bruise even more.
Yeah, and then she also said, defo put progesterone up the bum. So, Becca, team bum.
Another for team backdoor. Brilliant.
Yeah. And then Katie Lindemann got in touch as well. And she was talking about patches, because I'm going to be on the patches next month. And she said, like as per the recommendations on the box, don't put it above your breast, which is, I guess, don't put it above your heart. And she says she strongly recommends going for the thigh, which is where I went for before. And then somebody else said, be careful of moisturising when you're going to put a patch on because it might fall off, because you've got to keep these on for like 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
2 or 3 days.
That's amazing.
Several days. And so, yeah, don't moisturise because then it'll just drop off.
So Katie Lindemann also said, use hard sunglasses case or a Barocca tube for doing injections on the go.
Oh, that's good. I never did that.
Yeah. That sounds like a brilliant hack.
Yeah, because you do have to do them like every 12 hours, I think it is.
So that's a good one.
I just did it at home. I just went home every night. I just didn't have a social life.
Yeah.
Just easier.
Oh, God.
I know.
Anyway, well, for those of you that want to be adventurous and do it on the go.
Yeah.
Barocca tubes.
Barocca tubes. Anyway, so guys, keep your tips coming because they're really, really great. They're going to help Gabby and me.
Yeah. Just some brilliant innovations out there, guys. Yeah. You've all got creative minds and let's share the love.
We should write a chat magazine and, you know, they have those like helpful tips, like turning your sanitary towel into slippers and things like that.
Oh my God. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we should write into that.
If you think you're finished with your Barocca tube, think again.
Yeah. Keep them coming, guys.
Yep.
Joined in the studio, aka my house, by Keely Dwight, who is also known on Instagram as Trying to Be a Mum. Hello!
Hello!
Hey! Keely's one of the pioneering IVF bloggers and a source of constant positivity in our Instagram feeds.
Oh, guys!
Thanks.
A sunbeam.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it.
That beautiful smile.
Oh. red lipstick.
So tell us about your journey.
Oh my goodness, my journey. So my journey started five years ago, I guess, when the Dwighty and I got hitched. We were a little late in blooming, so I got married at the ripe age of 35. So we did that thing. We got married and kind of sat in ignorant bliss for about 6 months, just going, yeah, let's just be the two of us for a bit, yeah, because we'll get pregnant really easily.
We did exactly that.
Everyone else does. And then 6 months went past and we weren't like trying, you know.
We weren't tracking it.
We weren't ovulating kit testing,
yeah,
sort of trying. We were just having sex. Vaguely at the right time.
Those days.
Vaguely at the right time. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we realised that method was not working for us. So we went to the GP and started to have all the necessaries. And the kind of basic kind of test that the GP did and came back just said, yes, you have unexplained infertility.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the worst.
Great.
Which is really nice to hear. And I was kind of, and to be honest, at the time, I didn't really know too much about anything else either. Like, so I didn't really, like a few of my friends have had PCOS, but I didn't really know too much about it or endometriosis, you know, any of the other kind of factors that kind of affect or can affect fertility. So we're like, right, so there's nothing wrong with either of us. We just can't get pregnant. And they immediately just said, you should go for IVF because of your age and because there's no medical reason why you can't. Which kind of in hindsight now, knowing what I know about fertility, I'm kind of like, should we have just done that? Or should we have done, you know, all these other questions come up. But anyway, I think in our case, it was the right thing to go straight to IVF. So we originally were going to go through the NHS and we got referred and then we were like, okay, that's great. Perfect. Like, it's not too bad to get to work and I can go on the overground and that kind of works. And then we found out that our first consultant appointment would be 6 months away and that actually our first treatment would likely be 18 months away.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I'm 36.
I love the fact that they're like, oh, you're quite, you know, age-wise, you should probably get started quite soon.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then they're like, but could you wait 18 months?
Just wait 18 months and sit and see where you get to.
That's
which
the worst.
It was just like, I was like, and so I just said, we can't do that. Like, we're stupid if we do. So very fortunately, we were in a position that we could go private. And then it ended up that we actually had done three private rounds before our first appointment had even come up. So we were just...
That's nuts, isn't it?
It's just nuts. It's totally nuts. And we were really... was kind of talking about this last week, but we were really lucky because we would have got three rounds on the NHS, which is amazing given where we live, because you just think the demand would be ludicrously high. So I feel a bit guilty about that, because I'm like, yeah, I had all of these NHS rounds and I threw them away.
No, but you gave them to someone else.
Gave them to someone else, exactly. So so then we did two rounds at one clinic, which was quite near our where we live, which ended in the second one in slight disaster. And then we have done four rounds at AIGC. Mm-hmm. So we have just, in September, had our sixth failed round.
Great.
Oh, and in between rounds three and four, we got pregnant naturally.
Really?
Yeah. After a wine and Pinchos fueled weekend in San Sebastian.
Okay.
We found out we were pregnant. But then we miscarried at 8.5 weeks.
I'm sorry.
But yeah. So that's your journey. Our journey. Very proceed into a little so small soundbite.
So you mentioned there that one of those rounds ended in disaster. What happened?
Yeah, so everything was fine. We'd had kind of a similar protocol to our first round, and we went back in to have transfer, and we had a day three transfer, and we were having one put back in that time, I think. God, I don't know. They all merge into one after a while. We were in the transfer room and, looking up at the lovely embryos. Yes, that is my name and they are my embryos. Yeah, that's
they
great.
They look just like me.
They just look like me. It's so fab. And then the embryologist put in the catheter and my consultant. So I have a retroverted uterus, people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
It's just sort of a bit wonky. Oh. Like it goes up and down. Like it's a bit like a little mountain range in there rather than just flat, which actually is like, if anyone has a retroverted uterus, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
It does not affect any catheter procedures, but it did in this case. And my consultant was like, I'm going to change the catheter again, even though she'd done the practice round and everything was fine. And then she said, I'm going to change it. So she gave it back to the embryologist in the lab. And then suddenly the embryologist called her into the lab. And I'm like sitting there, legs akimbo for about 15 minutes.
The best resting pose.
With just like, with the old speculum still inserted.
Oh, lovely.
And I was kind of, this is what's going on. This is taking ages. This is ridiculous. And then this nurse came back in. I went, can you take it out? And can I just like sit here? Because I don't know how long this is going to be on for. I'm really uncomfortable.
They are not comfortable.
They're not comfortable. No. There's a bit of a draft coming through. anyway, so the consultant comes back in and goes, so this has never really happened to me before. But we can't find, the embryo isn't in the catheter. Like, where they flush it out and test that it's gone through and all that sort of thing. And we just went, sorry, what?
Oh my God.
And she just said,
we've lost the embryo.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We've lost the embryo, but there's only one place it can be, and that's in your uterus. But obviously it wouldn't have been in the optimum place I would have put it had I been able to do it, you know,
had she been
properly.
Yeah, knowingly pressing go.
Knowingly flushing it in. So yeah, we kind of, I was in a total state of shock. And I just went, okay, well, I mean, I don't know what you want us to say. Like, so good, it's in there.
Okay.
But does that mean that it's not going to work now? Or, you know, in the kind of naive days of just going with what everybody told you. And then the aftercare was just shocking. It was just like, that happened on the Saturday. And then we were trying to get hold of her on the Monday. And she, like, if I was that consultant, I would have phoned me the next day and said, are you all right? Mm. You know, blah, blah, blah. Don't wait till working hours on Monday or, you know, I know that maybe I'm being over ambitious about what they should do. But, and then we ended up having this like really, really heated, awkward discussion with her in her office. And I had to get the senior nurse from our clinic to come and sit in on the meeting with us, because I was like, I don't trust anything she says. So I don't want it to be like a, it's your fault, it's my, you know, where you kind of, it was just, you know, and then I was getting really emotional and crying, and Dwighty's trying to sit there just going, but you do understand how this is totally unacceptable, right?
Yeah. You do know this is
you lost our embryo.
It's like, you know, and then she kind of came up with that, there are always risks involved with every procedure, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, no.
You dropped our embryo, mate.
There's risks, but that's not one of them.
That is not, you know. And then when you look up on like the HFEA website, and then Dwighty's on there kind of going, well, how often does this happen? Like, is she just making it up, or is she? And it was less than 1% of the time. And we were like, of course it happened to us. Of course we are that less than 1%. So funny enough, after that happened, we decided we would change clinics.
Good idea.
Yeah, I wasn't overly enamoured with her bedside manner to begin with anyway. And then I just thought, this is totally shit.
Have you since heard anyone else that's had that happen to them?
Nope.
Oh.
I've never heard of that happening to anyone. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty unique in a lot of ways.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I might put it on my headstone when I pass. Just...
Embryo got lost.
Less than 1% chance. So yeah, that was our second round. So that was pretty special.
So one of the things that you've done to deal with this is blogging. And you were one of the first bloggers that I read, like IVF bloggers.
Wow. I should probably update that. I don't think I've written on it since April.
But
never mind.
I think you change. I think the way you kind of get your emotions out changed, don't they? And like, and then you found Instagram. Is that kind of the main way that you cope with this? Or have you got different coping mechanisms?
Yeah, I guess it is the main way. I started the blog because I'd seen some other blogs and I just didn't like them very much. And that's no disrespect to them. It's just, it didn't really speak to me in the way that I thought I was dealing with it, or the way that I would kind of articulate it. So I just thought, well, if I start bashing down some stuff, maybe someone who's like me might find that easier to connect with. Or, and I kind of didn't really do it for any reason other than that. I didn't kind of expect anything out of it, and kind of, but I launched it at the same time as my Instagram account, again, because I had no idea that any of these people existed on Instagram. Like, I totally wasn't aware it was a community of such. And again, I just thought, well, I'll put it out there, and then if someone wants to talk to me, they'll talk to me. But I think the whole blogging thing is quite interesting because I'm acutely aware I haven't written anything on my blog since April. But I think you're right. Like, I think I just find it a lot easier just to do stuff on Instagram. And actually, I've been playing around recently with doing more like blog zining on Instagram and writing on Instagram rather than posting it somewhere else for someone then to have to go somewhere else to find it.
If your audience is on Instagram and it's kind of more instant to do it that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I do have to be very strict with myself when writing in terms of limiting my words because I do tend to ramble on slightly, as this is evident. But that's quite challenging, but it's quite fun because you're kind of like, oh no, I've actually got to think about what I'm saying rather than just rambling incoherently for ages. And stories is great for that as well. Like, I find it much easier to talk to people in person. Like, I love writing and I do really love it. But yeah, I find actually just chatting to people a lot, even though I'm having a conversation with myself on stories, it is, you know, you feel like you're weirdly talking to people, even if you're...
I think people really like it though, don't they? It's quite a powerful way to kind of get people on board with what you're saying. I don't really do it, but I think I'm a bit scared.
I just like it because you get feedback.
Yeah.
You get really good feedback, straight away. Normally, so if I post a story and it, chimes with people, I'll get, five messages in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Thanks, guys.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice.
So it's more immediate than blogging, I guess.
It's more immediate. And then also because, I found, and I even did a stories about this when I was going to actually, where I'd recorded a story that I was going to put up and then never put it up because it became irrelevant. And that's what I find about doing some of the blogging stuff. I think because I do most of the stuff that I talk about or write about is present, like it's happening to me now, and I do not every element of our treatment, but most of it I do in real time. So then by the time I've thought about something that I wanted to write about, by the time I've written about it, it's almost too late and it's not really relevant to then what I'm doing or what I'm saying. Or so I found it quite difficult to kind of or then I think of too many things to write about and then I'm I don't know.
So one of the things that you've written about is about keeping your partner engaged. And he's quite a big part of your Instagram. He's quite a big part of your journey. How have you made sure that he doesn't feel left out?
I mean, it's a bit difficult to because, I think if you do have a partner, then I think they're so intrinsically involved, kind of whether they want to be or not, and obviously before I started all of this, we had a chat about it and I was, we've been very open with all of our friends and family and I just said, is it all right if I write about this and talk about it? Because I will be quite honest and open and he was just like, yeah, if it makes you feel better, then do it. Mm. I'm not embarrassed about it or... So, as long as you're not slagging me off, pretty much, then, go for it. But I think Dwighty's really good because he very understatedly and unassumingly will do stuff in the background that I don't really know that he's doing. He'll research stuff and then, but not really tell me about it. And then we'll be, talk to someone or we'll be in an appointment and he'll be like, well, yeah, because da 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 da. I'm just check you out. mostly because he does it so that I don't worry, so that he can kind of allay my fears about something if I suddenly go, shit, I don't know. Oh, this month, so usually my cycles are 26 days, people.
Mm, very good.
And this month, it was 23 days.
Oh.
And I was like, ah, fuck. What's happened? What's happened? What? You know? And then suddenly, the next day, Dwight comes back and goes, it's totally normal. You know, it's like, okay. Or I'll have gone to the bathroom by the time he comes back. Yeah. He's like, so I've read a couple of things about it. And
that's really nice, because it's hard sometimes being the kind of only one that knows what's going on and like the keeper of all information.
Yeah.
It's good to have that backup.
Yeah, and he doesn't like spout off about it a lot, but he just knows if it's... He's a bit of a worrier in general, and he won't mind me saying this, like life things. And his basic thing is, if I'm not worried, then you definitely shouldn't be worried.
Oh.
So, yeah. That's quite a good... It's a good radar for me anyway, because then suddenly if I see him there and he's shaking and kind of, you know, be like, oh shit, we'll be worried now. Okay.
It does become more of a partnership, doesn't it? Like, I feel like in this, my relationship certainly is not improved. It was fine before, but
It was fine before.
It's all right.
It's possible.
It's totally fine.
I'll be quiet. I feel like it's, you know, we've become closer. I don't even know if that's the word, like more of a team.
Definitely. And it's really hard to not say it without sounding just totally wanky or cliched, you know, but it is like, you know, it's brought us so much closer together. But it really has. Like, I was talking to someone at the weekend, actually, a new friend that I made through the Insta world, who was super lovely. And we were basically saying exactly the same thing. Like, you know, often my friends or some friends of ours will be like, oh, yeah, but you and Dwighty are so loved up. It's like, yeah, like, aren't you? But I think and it's not like we're snogging each other in the pub or anything, but like I think you become more aware of the other person's needs and feelings and making sure they're okay, and just kind of, even if, you know, they've had a bad day at work, it's like you've had a bad day at work, but then you've also got all of this to worry about, or you've got, and I just think you become a bit more, I don't know, I think the whole fertility thing makes you, I hope anyway, makes most people more emotionally aware of how they react with people and how they deal with people. And I just think then as a kind of couple or whoever, your partner or husband or whatever, I just think it naturally ends up being like that.
Yeah.
I just do. I don't know.
I feel sorry for people who haven't gone through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate test.
Yeah.
And the ultimate boost.
I mean, God. Who wouldn't want to?
Yeah, exactly. They're really missing out. I mean, what you mentioned work there, and we talk about work and IVF quite a lot, because we're all finding it a bit difficult. And you took the decision to kind of step back from your career.
Yeah.
Was there a contributing factor that, like, a particular moment where you were like, actually, I'm gonna stop this for a while and concentrate on my fertility?
I think the reason that, well, I mean, there are a whole multitude of factors, actually. One was I'd just been working my ass off for like nearly 20 years without a break, without having had gone on maternity leave.
Yeah, that break was coming to me.
That break was, yeah, I should have had that like 7 years ago. Not had a break, constantly been, and like, in a fairly demanding, you know, not saving lives in any stretch of the imagination, just making ads.
Yeah, but stressful.
But stressful and full on and long hours and all that shit. So a bit of me was I just need a break, regardless kind of, I think, of the fertility stuff or not. I just was, maybe I just need a break, or, you know. And it was the right time at the job I was at. It was the right time to leave for various reasons. And then we'd had four rounds of failed IVF. So it was kind of like, well, that's a pretty good reason to give up work. And because we'd gone through all the, like, checklist of okay, so we've done this and we've taken the ubiquinol and we've taken this and we've taken that and, you know, we've changed clinics and we've, you know, all the things that everyone does to kind of maximise your chances, and none of them had worked, and stress, everyone bangs on about stress, you know, and I do believe it to a degree. So we were like, well, what's the one thing we haven't really addressed? And that was it. And for me, it was quite a big factor. It took up quite a lot of my life. So it was kind of like, well, if the big part of my life is quite stressful, then surely taking that away would be a good thing. So very fortunately, yeah, Dwighty just went, why don't you just knock it on the head for a bit?
Like, do it.
Really? Yeah. Okay. that's pretty amazing. I mean, it was a bit of a shock.
Was it?
Yeah. Just because...
What was it like waking up the first day and being like...
I didn't wake up. I just...
slept all day.
Seriously, for like the first, I reckon, month. So I left at like pretty much Christmas, nearly 2 years ago. And I kind of woke up in January. But it took like the whole of January. I used to wake up for like getting up, going to work time. And then without even sort of really coming round, would just completely fall back to sleep again and wake up at like, it was like being a student, like at 10:30.
Amazing.
It was like having horse tranquilizer or night nurse, like every night. Wow. It was insane, but it was kind of also showed just like,
yeah,
fucking, I needed some sleep.
Definitely proof that it was, yeah, it was the right choice.
So after I slept in January,
after I slept through January, fantastic.
I sort of came round, and it's been like, there are days when I had all very lofty ambitions, obviously, about what I was going to do with my time off, because obviously my time off was going to be quite limited, because I was just going to have the year to do some treatment, get pregnant.
Yeah.
Then obviously I'd have a year of being pregnant, and then maternity leave for a year. So I'd be back at work in like 2.5 years sort of thing. 18 months later and we're still not even pregnant. So, but I had, yeah, all these lofty ambitions of like, yeah, I'm going to go to a gallery like every week and I'm going to, you know, do all these ridiculous things that I couldn't do when I worked. And yeah,
stuff and done.
Really, I mean, I've been to a few galleries, but
that's great. Know, yeah,
I've done a little bit, but you do weirdly get into a bit of a routine, like however mundane it might be sometimes. Yeah. But you know, when all those mums out there go, oh, I don't know where the day goes. It's like I actually don't sometimes. Like,
yeah,
you get up, put a wash on, you know,
wait for that to finish,
wait for that to think about, get the shopping, you know. You know, 3 o'clock, I'm thinking about making dinner. I mean, it's, you know, I made it before I came out tonight. It's bubbling away on the stove. You know, like.
To be fair, that's my day as well, but I'm sitting behind a desk thinking about making dinner.
Yeah. But then part of that is also what I've really loved about, out of all the crapness, is all of those nice things that I get to do now that I didn't ever get to do before. Yeah. So I don't actually mind doing the washing because I kind of never did it, but Dwight did everything. Yeah. or cook dinner, because I used to get home at 8:30 at night, and you know, it just, so actually I've really enjoyed doing all of those things, and it's not boring. Like, some, don't get me wrong, some days I'm really bored, but yeah, I think the fertility madness has brought out some really nice things, and I never thought I'd be a yogi, but I go to yoga every day and it's really lovely. And, you know, so yeah, but the stopping work thing was, for me personally, and I was fortunate enough to do it, has been a really good, a really good thing for me.
I mean, if somebody was kind of considering it, but wasn't sure, what would you say to them to kind of, you know, what have been the like good bits and what have been the bad bits?
A few people have messaged me about this, actually, because I think I did some stories on it about, or I think when I was recapping our journey, and some new people had asked and said, oh, I'm thinking about giving up. Mm. And it's really hard because it's such a personal decision. And I kind of hate giving out advice in that sort of way, because what works for one person might not work for somebody else. But equally, I kind of say, if you feel like it's going to be more stressful not working because you're not working and financially it doesn't make sense or whatever, then don't do it, because you're just swapping one sort of stress for another sort of stress, and that's not good for you either. So either kind of, if you're not happy in your job, leave your job and get another job. If you can and you feel kind of equipped to not work at all, then don't work at all. I mean, it's kind of, I think it also depends where you are on your journey. It kind of depends on, you know, I found particularly at my clinic, it's really bloody hard to have a full-time job and have treatment at that clinic, because it's every day, twice a day sometimes.
Mm.
And luckily my work was only up the road, so like a 10-minute bus ride or a cab or bus. I got a cab all the time. I should have got the bus, because that is what my husband supplies, bus parts. But anyway, it was quicker. But do you know what? That was kind of convenient for me.
Mm. But it's almost as much stress just thinking about having to take the time from work to go. And
exactly. And like, how many days should I take? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's going to talk to her HR department about some upcoming treatment and stuff. And she was like, I just don't know how they're going to react. Like, how many days are they going to say that I can have off, or what can I do? Or it's so hard. It's also because I remember being told by my HR person, who's probably listening to this, who may be listening to this anyway, but she's also like, it is really difficult, because like when I was working and I was having to have discussions with my work, she's like, it's really difficult because it's an elective procedure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something you're being told you have to have. It's not like you break your knee and you've got to have reconstructive knee surgery, or like, you know, whatever. And I was really, really lucky because they were amazing. They were really amazing. But it doesn't work like that everywhere. And she said, and it's really then hard because it's so, as we all know, it is so bespoke and unique to each person that it doesn't, no one thing applies to everybody.
If you
so
made a rule,
it would be broken instantly because one person might have one round and one person might have six.
So one of the blogs of yours that I really like, that really chimed with me, was the one about time passing. I mean, you talked about that, and it was, I think it was on your 40th birthday. It was quite melancholy about time passing.
It was. Yeah, I think, well, it is a bit, because it's just a bit depressing. Well, no, I think it's just, you're just so much more aware of it, because you live in like chunks of time rather than, so suddenly you're like, okay, well, this 3-month period we're going to be doing this, and then we can't plan anything for this because we might be pregnant, or we might, and then suddenly when a few of those chunks get put together and you're like, oh, well, it's now 4 years, you're kind of, and when simultaneously all of your friends' lives are kind of going on the trajectory that they're supposed to be going on, or that they want them to go on, you suddenly sit there and go, shit, like, you know. And also, I think I wrote about it in the blog, but my cat
Nora is having a big old drink.
Right, Nora,
thirsty. This was a sensitive moment.
She comes in and she makes the most possible noise. Once during the interview, she bit me.
You were saying.
I was saying, yeah, so I wrote about it, this a bit in my blog. And I think because it was coming up to a big birthday, and I wrote about this, so sorry for repeating myself, but a really dear friend of mine is a brilliantly, ridiculously talented woman who is also a psychotherapist, counsellor, as well as being a, you know, star at PR and comms. And I was talking to her about it because I was asking her advice, like in terms of, I know people will ask me questions about it. So if I was gonna, if you were gonna give like a counsellor's view on why I'm feeling like this or why, and she was just really, and she just said it is big, like big birthdays always bring out that sort of reflection, or I should have done this by this point, or I should have, you know, all of the should-ofs all come out. And I think it's just a bit, I think it's just natural. But I think, yeah, time's just a bit of a shitter. You kind of want to put it on hold, but equally you don't want to put it on hold because you want something to happen. So
yeah,
you want it over with. I don't know,
it's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I think we've all got really weird relationships with time.
Yeah.
You're also trying to live your life outside of what's going on with your fertility.
Yeah.
And doing things that you enjoy, going on holidays and time, you know.
Yeah.
That's good times, but then you stop and you're like, well, wait a second, I'm still not where I thought I'd be.
Yeah, and I think just kind of, not that I wasn't bothered about hitting 40, you know, I was a bit like when I hit 30, I was like, bloody loved it, it was amazing.
Being 30 is brilliant.
But it was more the point of what I thought I would have had or done by the time I was, not necessarily done, because to be honest, I'm really lucky, I'm, like career-wise and stuff, I've done loads, I'm, like, I'm really, and life and whatever. But by that point, you know, I thought I would have two kids, or at least one. I mean, I'm not greedy, just one. Just one would be
she
nice.
She doesn't ask for much.
So I just, and then you feel like,
yeah,
because you're being told as well as a geriatric mother.
Oh, it's the worst word.
That time is running out, dear.
They should not use that terminology.
No.
It's really offensive and horrible.
It is really offensive. Again, someone talking about it the other day. But yeah.
Just to finish off, if you could go back to right to the beginning of your journey and tell yourself one thing, what would it be?
Yeah, I think I was kind of aware of this from the start. It's managing your expectations. It's an amazing, amazing science, and I'm hugely grateful for it. But it doesn't work for everybody. And hopefully it does work for enough, you know, and hopefully it will work for us, and hopefully, but you just have to be aware of it. And don't go into it, you know, yeah, thinking that it will be the first time or will be this, you know, because hopefully it is, and that's amazing. But if you're then kind of crushed by that disappointment, it's really hard to then pick yourself back up again and want to do it again and kind of want to keep going. But the motivation, someone asked me this the other day, like, what's the motivation that really, you know, keeps you going? Just bloody want to have a baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you really asking me that?
It's pretty simple.
It's in the name. Trying to be a mum.
Yeah, just laugh as well. Have a giggle and be kind to everybody and each other.
That's pretty good advice.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the cava. Well,
that's all right.
I was really hoping there was going to be something after Hannah's wine last week. I was like, if I go and Hannah got wine and I didn't get wine, I'd be really annoyed.
I think we're under pressure now.
No.
We have to provide booze every time.
No worries. Well,
it's been great to have you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely lovely to see you.
Cool. Bye.
It's time for Old Wives Tales.
Fact or fiction? Gabs.
Yeah.
You spoke to Professor Tim.
I did. I spoke to Professor Tim Child, medical director at Oxford Fertility, about pomegranate juice.
Good in cocktails.
Yes, very good in cocktails. A bit sweet for me.
Yeah, I like it.
Why do people drink it, Emma?
So this comes from, I think, the view in certain areas of, I'm not going to say medicine, I'm going to say practice. Okay. That eating and drinking red things will help your blood flow better.
Okay.
So
people drink pomegranate juice to get their blood flowing and to help build a really good womb lining, so that your embryo will implant in the womb.
So have you been necking it like
I actually
crazy?
Have. I am a cynic.
You are?
But it's got to a point where I'll try anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's delicious as well. I really like it.
Oh, that's good.
Although my brother-in-law did come over this weekend and drank it all. So.
Oh, well, his bloody lining's going to be perfect.
But yeah, no, I'm... And this goes in the same category as beetroot juice.
Okay.
I prefer the pomegranate.
Right.
Yeah, just red juice.
Yeah. Is this like when you drink cranberry juice because you've got a wee infection?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I used to neck that stuff.
I know, but it doesn't work, does it?
I never knew. We never find out, do you? Yeah, I drank a lot back in the day.
I mean, it's delicious. If you get... There's certain brands that don't have any like added sugar.
Mm.
So it's good to go for those brands if this is a thing you're going to subscribe to.
Yeah, I think the ones I've had are quite sweet, so maybe that's put me off.
Yeah. So, yeah, just drink those. But you spoke to Professor Tim.
I did, and I asked him whether it would have any effect on getting you pregnant, basically.
Sweet.
Take it away, Professor Tim.
So with all of the dietary things that come up every now and again, what tends to happen is someone will say that a particular juice or food will improve pregnancy, and that tends to be based on nothing at all, really, very poor quality studies. When you try and look into things, you just can't find any evidence there at all. And this is true for pomegranate juice, and I can't really see any logic or any understanding why that would help improve the chance of an embryo implanting in the uterus. As with many of these things, if people feel that it's something that they are doing themselves and it's giving them some control over the situation by drinking something that they feel may help, it's not going to do any harm at all, but I can't feel that I could recommend it as being something to improve success rates.
Brilliant, well, thanks for that, Professor Tim.
And that's the end of the show.
That's a wrap, guys.
Have a great week.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Fertility Week.
Happy Fertility Week.
Happy
November!
Yay! Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.